From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first that lines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo highlights economy boosting pointers for agriculture fisheries. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin receives two concepts of Sharia compliant economy. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Donald Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo drew attention to three areas to enable the agriculture and fisheries sectors to drive Indonesia's economic growth. President Joko Widodo made the statement during a meeting theme, Economic Strengthening Acceleration in the Agriculture and Fisheries Sector, in which the attendees also comprise Vice President Ma'ruf Amin and Cabinet Ministers. The President expressed belief that farmers and fishermen should go beyond on-farm activities to off-farm through providing added value to farming and fisheries activities by processing their products as well as developing agriculture and fisheries-based businesses. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin received two concepts of developing a Sharia-compliant economy through rural areas and Islamic boarding schools from Maulana Malik Ibrahim State Islamic University in Malang, East Java on Thursday. The involvement of the rural community and pesantren can support the conventional economy, which has been running well. Abdul Haris, rector of Maulana Malik Ibrahim State University, UIN, Malang, sat at the Vice Presidential Office. The development of the two concepts can increase domestic production of halal goods, which have become the idols of Vice President to utilize them optimally. The strategy of developing the two concepts of Sari economy involves five related community groups called Panchahelik. They are the government as a regulator, the community as an object of development, institutes of higher learning as a training provider, and businessmen and the banking institutions. The Indonesian government is preparing a strategy to file a lawsuit against the European Union decision imposing import duties on Indonesia biodiesel. Secretary General of the Trade Ministry OK Nurwan sat in Jakarta on Thursday. The European Union Commission on Monday set duties on the import of Indonesian biodiesel from 8% to 18%, which is the same as the provisional tariff proposed by European Union in August 2019. Earlier, the Indonesian government planned to impose retaliatory tariffs on the import of milk and its derivatives from the European Union. After all, the government will be taking the former channel route in accordance with the trade dispute rules of the World Trade Organization. The European Union is determined to impose anti-subsidy import duty on Indonesian biodiesel over suspected subsidy considered harmful to the European Union's producers. The biodiesel market in the European Union would touch €9 billion or $10 billion, the European Commission has predicted. Indonesia surplus were additional woods and estimated €400 million to the European Union. The Indonesian and Malaysian representatives to the ASEAN Intergovernmental Commission on Human Rights accented on the significance of upholding the freedom of expression in the ASEAN. World Human Rights Day is celebrated worldwide on December 10 annually. Representative of Malaysia to the AICHR, Eric Paulson, noted in a joint statement in Nusa Dua Bali on Tuesday. A joint statement of 2019 World Human Rights Day by the Indonesian representative and Malaysian representative to the ASEAN Intergovernmental Commission on Human Rights was delivered after the AICHR consultation in Bali. Eric Paulson said that freedom of expression is a fundamental freedom that underpins all other human rights. It offers people an opportunity to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas of all types to engage in important conversations on issues of public concern, instigate change, and hold those in power to account. Paulson noted that freedom of speech must encompass press freedom and the right to express unpopular or challenging views without fear of reprisals or persecution. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Agriculture Ministry targets export performance for the next 5 years, especially for plantation commodity, will increase threefold. Director General of Plantation Agriculture Ministry, Kasdi Subagiono, said the plan to increase plantation commodity export is target, which is determined by Agriculture Minister Syahrul Yassin Limpo. This was stated by Kasdi in the 62nd Plantation Day anniversary in Malang, East Java, on Tuesday. Kasdi also said that step to increase performance of the plantation product export needs to be conducted, remembering Indonesia actually has big potential to boost performance of Indonesian export. According to Kasdi, effort to increase the plantation product export must be supported by stakeholders, including the role of business actors from the private sector and also state-owned enterprises. UNESCO has joined hands with Indonesian authorities and experts to launch a pilot project for disaster risk mapping for the Prambanan Cultural Heritage Site and the intangible cultural heritage objects within the temple complex in Sleman, Yogyakarta. The project will be carried out by UNESCO in collaboration with the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, the Central Java Cultural Heritage Preservation Agency, BVCB, Gajah Mada University, and PT Waindo Spectera. Stakeholders involved in the project will gather information and create three-dimensional mapping that identifies the disaster risks for 7 temples within the complex, including Prambanan, Sewu, Gana, and Ratu Boko temples and the surrounding area. BNPB Disaster Risk Reduction Unit head Raditya Jati said all the information obtained would be included on a platform called InnaRisk. InnaRisk, Raditya said, is a data service platform that aims to illustrate the potential for disaster in every area in Indonesia. He expressed hope that in the long term, the platform would include comprehensive disaster risk information on all cultural heritage sites in Indonesia. Veteran shuttler Gracia Poli has won her first Southeast Asian Games gold since making her Southeast Asian Games debut 14 years ago. In Monday's women's double final, Gracia Poli and Apriyani Rahayu defeated Chayani Chalat Kalam and Paitamas Munwong of Thailand 21-3 and 21-18. Gracia and Apriyani's gold was Indonesia's third badminton gold medal at the 2019 SEA Games after Praven Jordan and Melati Deva Octavianti's gold in the mixed doubles and men's quads gold in the team competition. Indonesia has also won 2 silver medals from Rusali Hartawan in the women's singles and the women's squad in the team competition. Rounding out Indonesia's badminton medal tally are 2 bronze from Wahyu Nayaka and Adi Yusuf Santoso in the men's doubles and Rino Frivaldi and Pita Haningtyas Mentari in the mixed doubles. Well, listeners, that's the news.
Today's commentary is on the beginning of Ukrainian-Russian peace. There are no disputes that cannot be resolved. This phrase can at least be used in connection with Russian President Vladimir Putin's meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Paris, France, Monday, December 9, 2019. Facilitated by French President Emmanuel Macron, the two heads of state have agreed to a ceasefire. When war was raging between the two countries, a ceasefire agreement was good news. For nearly 6 years, hostilities have led to a war that has killed at least 13,000 people. During this time, Ukrainian troops fought against rebels who had strong support from Russia. The war was the result of a conflict in 2014 when Russian troops annexed Crimea, which is Ukraine's. Earlier, the president of Ukraine then, Yanukovych, was ousted by protests in Kyiv called the Maidan Revolution. Russian-backed separatist groups later established an independent state from Ukraine, but until now, the world has not recognized it. Since then, the war has occurred. The Moscow government has clearly supported the rebels by sending weapons. The agreement between the presidents of Russia and Ukraine is a breath of fresh air for the people of the two countries who have been suffering from the prolonged war. Before reaching an agreement, Russia and Ukraine had exchanged prisoners and withdrew their military forces from the front lines of the war. In the agreement in Paris, the two countries are also willing to release each prisoner until the end of December 2019. The release of prisoners will be carried out along with withdrawal of troops from several war zones in Ukraine until March 2020. The question is, why should Russia negotiate with the Ukrainian government? Isn't what happened was a civil war between the Ukrainian army and the rebels? In this case, the role of President Macron of France is quite significant. The willingness of Vladimir Putin to sit at the same table with President Volodymyr Zelensky at a high-level meeting in Paris was at the initiative of President Macron. This confirms that the world does not recognize the claims of rebels who founded a new state in Ukraine. Besides, Russia has acknowledged its direct involvement in the civil war and appeared to provide a peaceful solution to the war that had caused damage, suffering, and tens of thousands of lives. The high-level meeting in Paris between the president of Russia and Ukraine has become a new round of conflict resolution and is expected to create lasting peace in Ukraine. Well, that was commentary today on the beginning of Ukrainian-Russian peace. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world. Today in history, I'll start with December 11, 1946. UNICEF's founded. The United Nations Children's Fund was established by the United Nations General Assembly on December 11, 1946. Headquartered in New York City, UNICEF provides long-term humanitarian and development assistance to children and mothers in developing countries. UNICEF is a voluntary funded agency, so this agency depends on donations from the government and individuals. Its programs emphasize the development of community services to promote the health and well-being of children. Turning to December 11, 1981, the El Mozote Massacre. The El Mozote Massacre took place in the village of El Mozote, El Salvador on December 11, 1981. More than 1,000 villagers were killed during the 1980 until 1992 civil war in the Central American country. Reportedly, this massacre was the worst war crime in modern Latin American history. The massacre was at its nadir in the El Salvador Civil War, which broke out in the country between the 1970s and 1990s. In December 2011, the El Salvador government apologized for the incident. Thank you. I'll close with December 11, 2013, the 27th Southeast Asian Games opens. The 27th Southeast Asian Games, or SEA Games, were held in Naypyidaw, Myanmar's new capital. The official mascot of the 2013 Southeast Asian Games is a pair of owls considered to be good luck bearers. Myanmar proposes to hold 35 sports, fewer than the number of sports at the 2011 Southeast Asian Games in Indonesia, which amounted to 44 sports. This event was opened on December 11, 2013. Thailand became the 27th SEA Games overall champion. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the world.
Kau ada melukis kata yang terindah dalam jiwaku kau berucap menyatakan rasa antara kita. Aku tahu hanyalah kita yang mengerti. Aku pun bisa menyadari mengapa cinta merasuki kita. Biarkan aku mencintaimu walaupun aku bukan milikmu. Biarkanlah apa adanya kenyataan antara kita. Aku dan kamu saat ini tak bisa menyatu. Kenyataan yang kita hadapi, jangan pernah kita menyesalinya. Biarkan aku mencintaimu walaupun aku bukan milikmu. Biarkanlah apa adanya kenyataan antara kita. Kita tak harus memiliki. Cintai aku dalam hatimu, aku akan mencintaimu dalam hatiku untuk selamanya. Aku bukan milikmu. Biarkanlah apa adanya kenyataan antara kita. Kita tak harus memiliki. Cintai aku dalam, aku akan mencintaimu dalam hatiku untuk selamanya. Oh.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Indonesia invites countries to fight for natural rubber farmers' welfare. Indonesia invited Thailand and Malaysia as members of International Tripartite Rubber Council, ITRC, to protect rubber farmers. Indonesia also invited the two countries to arrange joint effort in overcoming other natural rubber issues for the sake of the farmers. Press release of Indonesian Trade Ministry mentioned that it was stated by Indonesia, which led the ITRC meeting in Jakarta on December 2-5. APEC and International Organization Negotiation Director of Trade Ministry Antonius Yudi Triantoro said, the meeting discussed global natural rubber market condition and arranged concrete steps in overcoming low natural rubber price, which directly affects rubber farmers' welfare. All related sides need to protect rubber farmers with various planned effort. In the meeting, ITRC member countries agreed to keep being committed to maintaining natural rubber supply through ITRC scheme, and to expand cooperation framework with other producing countries. ITRC has the scheme to maintain natural rubber supply through Supply Management Scheme, or SMS, and Agreed Export Tonnage Scheme, or AETS. To increase rubber consumption in third countries, ITRC created Demand Promotion Scheme, DPS, as platform for member countries to convey strategies to increase domestic natural rubber use, such as for asphalt mix and various other natural rubber-based innovations. International Tripartite Rubber Council ITRC scheme aims to maintain natural rubber sustainability by stabilizing global natural rubber price. Sustainability of natural rubber must be fought for. Price improvement is also being strived for so that farmers keep cultivate the rubber plants. According to Antonius, low rubber price also makes farmers downgrade plant maintenance quality by reducing the use of fertilizer and pesticide. Thus, rubber leaves in Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand are attacked by pestalotipsis that allows this disease grow and reduce natural rubber production. Besides that, by expanding cooperation framework with other producing countries, it was expected that the measure taken will have greater significant influence toward global natural rubber market. Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand need to invite other producing countries, especially in ASEAN and other rubber organizations, such as the Association of Natural Rubber Producing Countries, to synergize in overcoming various problems. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we introduce you Penglipuran Traditional Village in Bali. Penglipuran Village is one of traditional villages which has been developed to be a tourism village visited by many tourists. Even at the beginning of its determination as tourism village, foreign tourists flocked the village, which is located in Bangli. The village becomes a spotlight amongst throughout the world because of the beauty and peacefulness offered by the village. The villagers want to preserve their cultures. The name of Penglipuran is an acronym of Pengling and Pura, which means remembering the ancestor's sacred place. The people of the village is from Bayung Gede village Kintamani that permanently migrated to Kubud Bayung village, which now becomes Penglipuran village. The village is located at an altitude of 700 meters above the sea surface or 45 kilometers from Denpasar, or precisely located at Kubu Hamlet, Bangli District, Bangli Regency, Bali. The villagers of Penglipuran village still conduct tradition and ritual of their ancestors routinely. Good arrangement and attractions of the village makes it to be the right place for you who want to release your tiresomeness. To access the village, you can rent a car or use travel bureau which provide travel tour to Penglipuran village. Penglipuran villagers maintain 75 hectares of bamboo forest and 10 hectares of another vegetation, which becomes characteristic of the village. In addition, the villagers also maintain indigenous cultures of their ancestors and urban planning as well as traditional constructions. It makes Penglipuran village to be awarded Kalpataru Award in 1995. In 2016, this village is chosen as the cleanest village in the world. Penglipuran village is the only one village which is not touched by modern style yet. In addition to their culture to honor the nature, Penglipuran villagers in Bangli also have culture and tradition to honor women. There is a rule of the village where man is prohibited to do polygamy. If the man is cuffed to do polygamy, he will be exiled from the village. The village also has punishment for stealing. If someone is caught stealing, she or he will be punished to give offerings, namely 5 chicken with different feathers to 4 temples. With the way all villagers will know who the thief is, it is certainly to make deterrent effect. Penglipuran villagers are different from Balinese people in general. Although Penglipuran villagers follow Hindu, they do not know ngaben or corpse burning ceremony, so the corpse is directly buried. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder featuring Penglipuran Traditional Village in Bali. Thank you for listening.
Di suatu hari tanpa sengaja kita bertemu. Aku yang pernah terluka kembali mengenal cinta. Hati ini kembali temukan senyum yang hilang. Semua itu karena dia. Oh Tuhan, ku cinta dia, ku sayang dia, rindu dia, inginkan dia. Utuhkanlah rasa cinta di hatiku, hanya padanya, untuk dia. Jauh waktu berjalan kita lalui bersama. Betapa di setiap hari ku jatuh cinta padanya. Dicintai oleh dia ku merasa sempurna. Semua itu karena dia. Oh Tuhan, ku cinta dia, ku sayang dia, rindu dia, inginkan dia. Utuhkanlah rasa cinta di hatiku, hanya padanya, untuk dia. Cinta dia, ku sayang dia, rindu dia, inginkan dia. Utuhkanlah rasa cinta di hatiku, hanya padanya, untuk dia. Hanya padanya, untuk dia.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Rumah Bagus, or in English, Good House. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about Rumah Bagus, or in English, Good House. Location at Joko's house. Joko mentioned the rooms at his home.
Wow, rumah kamu bagus dan besar. Kamu hebat. Ah, tidak, biasa saja.
Tidak, tidak. Ini besar. Selain itu, rumah kamu juga bersih dan rapi.
Istri saya rajin membersihkan rumah.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce you some expressions related to the topic today, rumah bagus or good house. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Rumah kamu bagus dan besar. Rumah kamu bagus dan besar. In English, your house is good and large. Kamu hebat. Kamu hebat. In English, you are great. Selain itu, in English, besides or in addition. Rumah kamu juga bersih dan rapi. Rumah kamu juga bersih dan rapi. In English, your house is also clean and orderly. Istri. Istri. In English, wife. Istri saya rajin membersihkan rumah. Istri saya rajin membersihkan rumah. In English, my wife diligently cleaning the house. In a dialogue, Tony praises Joko, "Rumah kamu besar dan bagus. Kamu hebat. Selain itu, rumah kamu juga bersih dan rapi." When giving compliment, it is usually used adjective words. The words good, big, clean, tidy or orderly, diligent, and great are adjective. Another examples to give compliment. Man, apakah kamu potong rambut? Apakah kamu potong rambut? Women? Ya, men. Kamu terlihat lebih cantik. Kamu terlihat lebih cantik. Explanation. In a dialogue, Joko is appraised by Tony. Joko answered the compliment by saying, "Ah, tidak, biasa saja." Joko said that because he is humble. Most Indonesian people will do the same thing, always to be humble. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Wow, rumah kamu bagus dan besar. Kamu hebat.
Ah, tidak, biasa saja.
Tidak, tidak. Ini besar. Selain itu, rumah kamu juga bersih dan rapi.
Istri saya rajin membersihkan rumah.
As an exercise, please send us your voice recording in Indonesian language to our email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be interesting prizes for the selected senders. Please describe a tourist spot in your country by mentioning the country's name, the name of the tourism object, the location, and the weather in that place. Please convey more information if any. For example, "Selamat pagi, negara saya Indonesia memiliki tempat wisata Candi Prambanan yang terletak di kota Yogyakarta. Cuaca sekitar Candi Prambanan panas. Gudeg adalah makanan khas Yogyakarta." Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
segala cara telah kita coba demi keutuhan cinta yang sejak semula kita percaya. Bulan di langit pun mengerti saat bicara tak lagi jadi cara yang bisa hentikan pertikaian hingga akhirnya rasa hilang dan
listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, I present a regional song to you entitled Siu Mama from Maluku. The song Siu Mama was composed by Melky Guslau, which tells about someone's outpouring who are far away from their hometown. They remind their childhood with mother's love and sacrifice. They miss the mother. Moreover, they could not return yet their mother's devotion. Then they pray for the mother. May God blessing her always. Thanks for the lyrics. The songs Your Mama easily touches the heart of those who sing and listen the song. There are many Indonesian musicians dedicated the song, such as Rio Febrian and Bob Tutupoli. And for today, I will present the song Your Mama by Trio Nenaku. Happy listening.
Beta ingat tempo ini.
Voice of Indonesia.
Beta sing bisa lupa Mama pun air susu Waktu beta kecil Air susu mama tung papa beta Bikin beta besar bagi Beta sing bisa lupa Mama pun sayang Beta Beta ingat dulu Kalau beta sakit Mama gendong Beta Mama di tanah orang baru beta rasa siyo Mama kalau beta sakit beta ingat mama apalai kalau pakai mama
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.